Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin back on Afternoon Drive. We got Albert Breer coming up at 5:20. If you guys want to, interesting story. Daryl Ryder, who's been all over the stadium news, well, he just had a nice little write-up here on 92.3thefan.com about the new $200 million Berea development that the Browns are spearheading around the current cross-country mortgage campus where they currently subside. They're adding on to that. It's $200 million. Big, big story. It does look beautiful. If you haven't seen, and I will say, they also don't have fireworks in it. And I'm just to all the people out there.
What a miss.
Well, but this isn't a stadium. If it's a stadium, you better have fireworks in it.
We need renderings with fireworks. They like, all have them.
I knew they weren't serious yesterday with the Cleveland whatever the I forget the
I think you're calling it the toilet bowl.
Yeah, the toilet bowl. Yeah, that thing. If you had fireworks in it, I would know you're serious. You didn't have fireworks, you're not serious about it. They're moving to Brook Park. But this is more of a campus. Campus, you don't have fireworks at a campus. That's ridiculous.
$200 million is a lot of money.
It is. It is. It's about the cost of a house in Wadsworth now.
Oh, yeah. Is that right? You've been price checking out there?
Yeah, I've been price checking it. If I wanted to build one on like more than 0.25 acres.
I think it's better than it was a couple years ago, right?
Wadsworth, $200 million?
Maybe?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm not
And that
Richard.
Was talking housing. we should have a brokered show on Saturday mornings.
Now to the Middle East! 216-474-0092. So, the Cavs is back and the Cavs is good.
You said it like we're going to the Middle East, by the way. Not that we're discussing the Middle East, that we're going to the Middle East. Me and you are traveling to the Middle East.
That probably isn't a good idea.
No. Yeah. Probably not.
I just, from what I've been reading, I don't know if you guys have heard about this, a lot going on over there. A lot of political angles, guys.
Okay, yeah. Get to the Cavs.
To the Cavs! They're 4-0. And what last night did, the win over the Knicks, it did a couple things. One, it discredited everybody who said the only reason they're 3-0 is because they played a bunch of crappy teams. And two, it proved that Kenny Atkinson continues to be the best hire in the NBA because how they won matters. How they won in the second half, they switched tactics, completely out-rebounded New York. They came back from a 13-point deficit at the half. And I'll be honest with you, Kenny Atkinson's ATOs, his out-of-timeout actions, are borderline erotic. So I don't know you could have scripted up a way for me to feel better about the Cavs getting to 4-0.
Knicks are in a little bit of a tough stretch here where they got to figure out a brand new team.
You hate to see it.
We like to see it, obviously. I don't know what to make of last night. I don't know. I thought it was gutsy. I thought it was gritty. It was every cool basketball term that you would want to use for like fighting hard and clawing and staying in a game. But the Knicks are, I mean, they're in game four of trying to figure a whole brand new system out. And the way the Cavs clawed into it, you were down 11. Jalen Brunson gets injured. He leaves for 5 minutes. We erased the entire deficit, and that was it.
I think...
Brunson not on the court was everything.
So this is the thing where I think you can look at what the Cavs did well and just take those victories.
Okay.
I don't think we need to put much more than that other than in four games, the body of the work is really good.
Okay.
But I hear what you've said, and here's the problem with the Knicks. They ripped the essence of what they were doing out of the soul of that thing. And I'm not saying Julius Randle was the soul of it, but it was a bunch of pieces. They were like the Misfit Island toys.
Mm-hmm.
Julius was not a superstar until he got to New York. Jalen Brunson had a great postseason, then became a superstar in New York. If you look at even Josh Hart, unheralded player, a guy that isn't Josh Hart in any other context but that one in terms of his importance. Every guy they had. And then they went and got a big name superstar making $50 or $60 million a year, and a guy whose biggest problem has been he hasn't been able to consistently get there for every single year and in crucial moments.
Well, I don't hate what the Knicks are doing. Like, they're shaking it up. They knew they weren't good enough last year. They're shaking it up and they're trying to find a way to get a lot better. And I like Mikal Bridges. I mean, I do. I like Mikal Bridges a lot. So, like,
I'd like him more if he had a good jumper.
I just don't know. Yeah, I bet he would like himself a lot more too if he had a good jumper. But like, I don't hate the win. I'm not like, it was awesome to see. I just don't know that I can celebrate it the way that I think a lot of people want me to celebrate it.
So we're at the point of the season.
The core four looked great, and that's the important part.
So we're at the part of the season though. I think you have to celebrate the differences for the Cavs. And the biggest difference is Kenny Atkinson.
For sure, and it's noticeable.
And specifically, like, the things that everybody talks about, halftime adjustments, it's the most overused idea in all of sports. To me, the adjustments you make in-game at any point, including what are you trying to do on inbounds plays, the coaches who are good at that, Atkinson is one of them. Borrego, who they almost hired, is one of those guys who's insanely good in ATO situations. Like, that's the difference between a guy who's good at culture and a guy who can just win you basketball games with basketball decisions. That's Kenny Atkinson.
Right, yeah. I have a larger Darius point we'll get to in a little bit, but off of that, though, is the idea that, like, I thought it was a stroke of genius by him to understand that after Darius didn't play good in the opening game and coming off the season that Darius had, the season from hell, coming off the trade rumors, big questions about whether or not Darius and Donovan can work together, what was the plan last night? The plan last night was to get Darius in the mix, and when he got hot, he was able to stay hot, and they just let him keep shooting. Like, that, little things like that matter, Nick. Like, those are the type of games where it's like, all right, Darius is feeling it. Let's not only get his energy going, but let's get his confidence up, and let's see where it goes. Like, That's coaching.
Yeah, but I think what you're driving at is also what I think is so key. The Cavs were perceptionally challenged around basketball. These pieces don't fit together. They're never going to fit together. You don't have enough wings. There's some truth to that. But these, even though we were having similar conversations, they were a lot fainter after Darius and Donovan's first year together because they were so good together. And what I think the first four games of the year proves, like, Donovan can have his moment, his game. Darius can have his moment, his game.
Right.
Evan can have his moment. Jarrett can have his game.
The staggering of the two
and
of them, too.
And I think that's how you keep Donovan fresh, right? When you say, hey, hot hand, we're going to play this, it might bring Donovan's points per game down from 28 points a game to 24. Who cares? Because if he's fresh, like, this is how you do it. Like, again, these are it's almost like themes. Like, if you put too much into anything for the first four games in the season, you're going to look like a fool either way.
Sure.
Because it's such a long journey. This thing spans until April. Like, this team's going to invent itself and reinvent itself five times over. But the themes or the theories you're working with, those things you can build a bedrock on.
Yeah.
Like, those have been the things that have been missing.
It wasn't just, oh, it's a big game, roll the ball out there, and let's see how many points Donovan can score.
Yes. Well, and it was, okay. So it wasn't just that.
We saw a lot of that last year.
But even in moments of, okay, this is Jared Allen's hot moment. Jared is feeling it on the defensive end. Let's get him going on the offensive end. Even if it's just for a possession or two. Like, it's the offense, if you can't see this, guys, if you're not watching, you're not ready yet, the offense has fundamentally changed. It's an offense now.
I know. It's kind of insulting how quick it's happened, to be honest, though. I kind of, for JB's sake, I kind of wanted it to take a little bit more time.
Man, I got to tell you, I don't care.
It really is. No, I mean, I'm happy that we got there. I needed us to get there eventually. It's kind of insulting that it was able to happen this quick.
I know that there's going to be ebbs and flows in the basketball season. They're going to have a bad run. It could happen next week. Who knows? But I said this after game one. I'm going to say it again. Every single complaint I had about JB, why he wasn't the right guy to take you where you needed to go, Kenny Atkinson has answered every single complaint or question mark or head-scratching moment. ATOs, huge thing. Lineups, rotations, making sure you're getting offense out of everybody but Donovan. Like, all of these things are falling into place, and yes, there's going to be a trade-off. Yes, you're going to have nights where you give up 140 points, and you're just going to have to live with it.
Yeah.
But this is, like, we talk a lot about the Browns' watchability. Guys, the Cavs might be the most watchable team. Because when there's something, listen, there has to be something innate. If you're going to be a team like the Knicks used to be before they traded for Cat, and now Mikal Bridges, who's still a really nice basketball player. I'm not trying to run that down. But if you're a team that is defense first, everybody's gotta get going off that. Everybody has to catch a vibe on that. And this team, they played really well together, but not everybody vibed on it.
Right.
Young basketball players especially guys with top-tier talent, the only thing that gets you going is offense, and it's going. And I think that's the smart thing that Kenny knows. And it kind of feels like
when the Guardians move to being like, we're going to try to hit as many home runs as we possibly can, type team.
Yes, it is. It's so weird because I'm going to say something that is going to sound gobbledygook. It's vibes. Offense improves vibes. If once a week Darius goes off for 35 points, Darius is happy. because he's still because he's not looked at
and
as
that's,
a disappointing
that's what
player.
Happened last night. It was awesome that Darius. I mean, that was a jolt of confidence, is what that was.
Well, but you can do it for everyone. And if you do it with every, when I say everyone, I'm talking about the big four.
Talking about the core four, yeah.
If you're, it,
we're going big core, we're going core four.
I like core four.
Okay.
Mostly because I think I said it first.
Did I? I mean, that's wild to take credit for core four.
I feel like I said it first.
Yeah, because it doesn't, no one's ever put together four people being awesome together and calling it the core four.
No, it's a fab four. Thank you very much.
Nah, core and four rhymes in such a perfect way.
I'm very insulted now.
You genuinely think you came up with the core four?
Not since Panda Peterlin has this show debased itself to this level. But getting back to the core four, I think like,
that was wild.
This is 216-474-0092. Who came up with
Nick
core
come
four?
Up with core four? Yeah. Wild, you
I
think
also
you did.
Came up with We Are All Kipnisses. Not that anybody remembers.
And no staying power with We Are Kipnisses, but that's fine.
Because he retired. You're not being hateful. All right? Bring back Pander Peterlin.
Hey, when he goes to the broadcast booth, then we can all be Kipnisses again. We can all do that.
Now, reeling it back, I do think like this thing's sustainable. They're not going to go 82-0. We know that. They're going to have some natural ebbs and flows.
Thank you for that. Yeah.
But this is the way that for a year I said, coming off the Knicks thing, like, hey, you don't have vibes because you got spanked in the playoffs and you're embarrassed and that was a divisive loss. Have a good offense.
Can I be honest with you, though? I watched last night, and it's not like Darius, and we can get into the Darius side of things, and we will, but when I watched last night and I watch every one of these games, I'm just watching it through the lens of, did Evan Mobley look better today?
Man, I know
you hate that. I know basketball people hate that, but that's how I watch these games right now.
He's still averaging 18 points a game, which is a career high.
He's done great. I think like, he generally looks better. That's like, if I'm going to give a tip of the cap to Atkinson, it's that Evan Mobley looks sharp. That has me way more excited through the first four games than anything else I can possibly say.
So,
and if I want to credit Atkinson, then we can talk about that another time. But like Mobley looks like it's all coming together in a nice way. And that's honestly what has me so giddy through four games.
But
it's not the
that,
four wins. It's not being the Knicks. It's that.
But see, this is the problem is we've used that when he plays well to say, oh, this is the Evan Mobley. And then if he has a bad game, we weaponize his success against Evan. Yes, long term. 82 games plus the postseason. At some point, Evan's got to consistently be your second best player. But that is about consistent every single day. Kenny going in and saying, today you're getting the ball at the elbow. Today you're going to, it's, and I think Jason Lloyd said this about Kevin Love. Hey, you're going to get the first touch of the game. Now that's for me, that's a bit of an oversimplification because I'm just taking Jason's point. It's not just like this, yesterday was a reminder. It is about the core four. It is. It
and
can
all,
be about,
everyone in the core four looked awesome last night.
Well, I think the regular season is
like
about the core
the
four.
The ideal game should be that right there, Nick, where the core four looks great, and then you just get what you get from the other pieces.
Ideal regular season game. In the postseason, it's got to be Donovan and Evan. But regular season, to make sure Donovan doesn't get burnt out.
You can't have Darius disappearing during games in the postseason either. I mean, game seven in the Orlando series, he went 3-13.
One season, man. We're going to get into the Darius thing. I'm happy for Darius Garland because I think he's answering a lot of those critics. 216-474-0092. The Cavs are 4-0. Am I wrong for just giving all the credit to Kenny Atkinson? I'm feeling jubilant. Let's get to Darius next on 92.3 The Fan. Afternoon Drive, Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin, all eyes on Ryan Day and the Buckeyes as they take on another top-ranked team, Penn State. Spencer German breaks it all down on the Sons of the Shoe podcast. Follow the podcast now and subscribe on the Odyssey app, 92.3thefan.com, wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify. Have I mentioned Apple? Follow Sons of the Shoe now. I commend you. You were referring to something the Cavs are doing as a strategic move. I still can't tell if you mean that as a good thing or a bad thing.
Oh, I think it was a great thing. I thought last night, obviously there's a lot of takeaways within the core four and everything. I just think in having Darius play the way that he did, and obviously you just catch him when he's hot, right? And you got to play the hot hand, and obviously he had the time to shine. But the fact that they kind of pushed everything aside in that fourth quarter, he scored, 15 points? Like, they let him cook. I thought it was brilliant. If it was intentional or not, I thought it was brilliant. And it's for a couple reasons. Last year was a season from hell for Darius. It was awful. It couldn't have gone worse. Cavs were 15-4 when Darius wasn't on the court. They played better without him there. One point, he was eating his meals through a straw, which is, I mean, how low does it get, Nick? Eating your meals through a straw? Like he was in Paris. He's in Paris. He had to I heard the story once. He was in Paris. They were at a fine dining restaurant, and they served steaks, and then he brought out a blender and put it right on the table because that's how he was eating his food. Like, it's awful. Every bit of it is awful.
Here's the bad thing. My fat ass would 100% eat a steak that
not
was blended.
There's no chance.
Yeah.
Wait, required or not required? If your jaw is broke, you got no choice.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You're saying, like, I serve you steak blended up and you're going to go ahead and eat it?
I'm going to give it a go.
No chance.
Yeah. I'm going to take a sip. I'm not saying I'm going to eat all of it.
This is the TikTok content that we've needed forever.
I'll be honest with you. What's the broken jaw challenge? Right?
That's terrible.
Call it the Darius Garland Broken Jaw Challenge.
No.
Will you eat steak through a straw?
That's you know what? Not
blended
for me.
Blended up steak through a straw.
I do want it served by a very fancy French guy. Oh, this is the best T-bone we have.
Can you imagine the waiter? He puts the blender on the table. Just insulting everyone in France.
Would you like the cowboy butter? Yes.
Yes, I would.
Look at me. Look at my jowls, and you answer the question, sir. Now, back to Darius Garland.
He's eating steak through a blender.
Yeah.
And then he had the trade rumors, right? Did it come from Clutch Sports? Did it not come from Clutch Sports? I would bet a lot of money if his value wasn't in the toilet. They would have traded Darius last season, but they couldn't because his value was so low. I think yesterday was about making sure that Darius understands that you can work with Donovan, and you're going to have your moments to shine. And there's no bigger moment to shine than in Madison Square Garden, taking down the Knicks. I thought it was strategic. I thought it was genius. And I thought that was Kenny Atkinson. And I'm giving him the credit for this, by the way.
But I do think you're seeing that with everybody. Like that first game. Hey, Evan, this is your game. Go out and cook, using your vernacular and the kids' vernacular. Hey, in this game.
I stole from Russ Wilson.
No one's kind of that's. I would never admit that in public.
Dangerous.
Unless it was Sierra. If you stole Sierra from Russ Wilson, then it's okay. if it's a slang term, I'd just keep it hid. But with that being said, like I think that's good coaching. Like what you're just describing is it's strategic, but it's just common sense. It is, hey, this is a dude that we love and we trust. He's a hell of a good basketball player. He's got a hot hand right now. He's cooking, as it were. Let's not turn off the oven.
You say it's obvious, but we didn't see it often last year. You know, like in those moments, I felt like they didn't say, Darius, it's a fourth quarter takeover.
Because when I think you have an offense that everything kind of makes sense and there's a theory behind it, it allows players to play more free. Right? When the player has to think, it's the idea, it's the same thing we talked about with Schwartz and the impact he made on the defense for the Browns. Basketball is meant to be played as quick as you can.
Yeah.
And how you do that is when you're used to playing within a rhythm with each other. And they didn't have a rhythm for all of last year. And some of that was, and some of that's not JB's fault, by the way.
They had a lot of injuries.
Well, yeah, I mean, like Darius getting hurt and being, 15, 20 pounds underweight, that's nobody's fault. Not Darius, it's not JB's. But had you had a working system in place for the 2 years previously, you would have fallen back on that. That's the point. Like, everybody obsesses about, well, it's the triangle offense or it's the Golden State offense. All of those things are malleable. But there's like a core constant of understanding of how basketball offensively is meant to be played, how the ball moves, who moves it, when it's moved, all those kind of things, who it runs through, who it doesn't run through, who brings the ball up.
Yeah, but Atkinson has his own principles attached to that, too. That's why you're seeing Mobley and Allen staggering with their minutes. Like, he's fast-paced, too. You've noticed a big difference there with their pace as well. Like, he's got his own identity to it, and I think telling Darius Garland, not only do you work in my identity, but I'm going to be one of the few coaches that don't say two undersized guards can't work. I'm going to make this work, and I'm going to make you look good in the process. Like, I thought last night was huge in many respects for getting the core four to actually be a core four.
Well, and
not just a big three in Darius.
So I actually agree with you, but I think the thing to remember is, because it's like Evan. Well, Evan had this gigantic performance in game one, but look at his stats in game two. You're missing the point. He doesn't, with the way this thing is set up, your core four should be talented enough in the regular season that it's a pick your own poison. Hey, you want to take away Evan? That's fine. Darius has got you. Hey, you want to take away Darius? That's fine. Donovan's got you. You should be able to do that in the regular season. It's mostly just, can you out-talent the other team?
Yeah, I thought, and
out-try the other team.
But at points last season, they couldn't rely on Darius if they were even trying to say, Darius, take over and do this.
Yes, and I think that's what the first 25 to 30 games is about. It's stay healthy and build back the trust that was there.
Do you think he's turned a corner?
Yeah, I mean, I think last night was real. I don't think it was a flukish thing whether he scores 25 points tomorrow or whether he scores 15. Like, that's a box score thing. It's how it looks. And he looks confident. And by the way, we should give the player credit. because the player was discredited a lot. I feel like I pulled every punch I had on Darius because I knew it wasn't his fault. And like he went through stuff last year. And I think there were some real cheap things. And there were real cheap things said about selling him at low out there just to get him off the books because, oh, my God, the contract. It was all short-sighted. It all lacked perspective. This kid's a baller. I do think there's a statute of limitations on how long he's going
to
be here.
I mean, I was getting ready to give up on him, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, but see, now, when you make...
Game 7 against Orlando last year did a number on me.
When somebody comes along...
Paolo scores 38, Donovan scores 39, and then he goes 3 of 13 and was an absolute nothing burger.
When somebody comes along and finally offers you what Darius is truly worth at his max value, then you're not selling. You're just simply making the next logical move. That's smart.
That's why they didn't give up on him. I mean, they had no choice there.
That's what like last night ultimately symbolizes. It is freeing Darius from the pressure of his struggles last year. It is getting him back to a point where he's confident. There are natural things between him and Donovan that I think there's going to be a push and pull there. And because they're not wings, like in Boston, you live with a push and pull between Jason and Jaylen.
Yeah,
because they're everything you want. Right? They're 6'7", 6'8". Two guards, three guards who can guard one through four, probably not one through five, depending on the five, and who can score at will on the perimeter on three levels. Like, Darius and Donovan are that, minus the height and the wingspan and the defensive upside.
Yeah.
So that's what this is about. I mean, and at some point, it's going to happen.
I don't think I was the only one that was wondering how this would go. And wondering how it would go when, I mean, basically Darius held up two boxes and said him or me when it came to Donovan. And the Cavs chose Donovan. Like, there's no way his ego couldn't have taken a hit on that. Now, he spent the entire summer trying to tell us that that's not how that went down. And he wanted nothing to do with that. And he was shocked by the trade rumors getting out there and all that nonsense. But my perspective on it is when Clutch goes out there and tries to shop him around, that is them saying him or me, and he didn't win that battle. And so I didn't know how it was going to go between Donovan and Darius this upcoming season. I had no idea.
Yeah, like I don't think it's like they don't like each other. Because I think moments.
They just might not be able to work well together.
Yeah, but I think
yesterday was
limited.
A big sign in showing not only that Donovan's willing to let Darius take over a game and cook, like scoring 15 in the fourth, but they also can work together. I'm going to keep saying cook all the time.
You're cooking. And
I'm
going like to
keep
it.
Saying cook.
You're cooking with fire.
Once I credited Russ Wilson, it really, really deflated the whole entire thing, didn't
really,
it?
Really, the credibility's
really
dropped. It's okay. We'll get it back.
Right, like, through the floor.
You're now Darius Garland. You're going to get it back. Don't worry about it. It's just going to take a year and eating some.
You keep plugging away, little buckaroo.
I'm
you'll just get there one day.
Going to tell people I want to be traded and then get shocked and aghast when people are like, oh, you're in trade discussions.
Yeah. You meant released, right?
Not from me.
So here's the thing, though.
Calls coming from inside the house.
But I think the point I'm making is, one, good for you, Darius. That's awesome. We all have guys that when they go down, we kick them. And when we shouldn't.
What's right? Awesome if he actually does turn the corner.
But,
like, yeah, if this is him turning the corner.
But that's what's so cool about it is to see a guy who, like, I never stopped believing he's a good basketball player. And it annoyed me when people talked about his value, because value is perspective. Value is hey, group think. What do we think about this guy? He's an undersized point guard, and he's been hurt, and he wasn't very good last year, or wasn't up to his standard. Like, that perception shifts all the time. So, like, on one hand, good for Darius and good for the Cavs. You're doing the common sense thing now, which you weren't doing at points last year, which annoyed me and pissed me off. Darius was, the team was not. But here's the other thing. It is something like he's showing the rest of the NBA, hey, I am the guy I was 2 years ago. I was the guy that
was. Now you're saying
it
like it's trade bait.
No. But I think Darius is pragmatic enough to understand, hey, nobody wanted to pay the price for you. Everybody's a little afraid of that contract because of the way you played last year.
Now you're spinning it, though, the way I'm taking it. And I don't know if you mean it this way or not, but now I'm like, is every day an audition for Darius to be shopped at the deadline?
Yeah, it should be.
Is it?
Yeah, because that's how the NBA works. So, like, I think...
Well, are we committed to the core four, or are we trying to shop people and trade people at the deadline, is just Mobley and Donovan?
It's not as fixed as that. It's really not as fixed as that.
Or is everyone on an audition, down from Jared Allen to Darius, to see how it fits?
And see, I think that's too cynical. I think this is a really good thing.
I don't know. I'm genuinely asking.
Like,
I don't know.
I think this is Darius understanding. If he wants his own team, the only way he does that is if he plays lights out and conforms to the situation. But it's also an opportunity, because what happens when you win? You start loving ball a little bit more.
Yeah.
The ball goes a little freely. All of a sudden, you feel a little more free and saying, you know what, it is Donovan's night. And all of a sudden, you become a little bit more selfless, because you're not thinking about You're not thinking about, oh man, I'm failing to live up to this contract and I'm stuck here. You don't have to think like that. So for the Cavs, the best thing that happens with Darius playing well is you get to keep Darius. Darius and Donovan are great. Evan's great. And all of a sudden, you're a real threat in the playoffs. But if the second door open from Darius playing well is somebody's going to come along and offer you a Trey Murphy and a Herb Jones, you're still sitting pretty. And by the way, that's good for Darius and it's good for you. So Darius being who Darius was last night is good business for both parties.
Oh, for sure.
Whether he's here 2 years from now or whether inevitably there's a statute of limitations on this
I thought it was really refreshing that at the end of the game it was, and listen, I love when Donovan takes over, and I love when Donovan's asked to take over. But
when
I thought
Donovan
it was,
cooks?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But I thought it was refreshing that somebody else was asked to cook, okay? The oven.
That's a very defensive okay.
Was it?
Yeah, I think it was. Okay. Because I think you realize you've said cook so many times.
Well, you said cook back, and I'm like, we can let the cook thing go, but maybe we should keep the cook thing going.
I think the cook thing's going.
I think it's died.
Now, with that, Donovan did speak after the game about Darius and getting Darius to cook.
Unbelievable.
I just want everybody who was on that side to stay on that side when it comes to him. Like, you know what I mean? I don't want it to be a switch up. You know what I mean? And I think he said the same thing during an interview or something like that. Like, this is who he is. And, you know, there are times throughout your career where you have years like that. And obviously he was going through things personally and different things. You have to figure out, you know, you have to grow and figure out, okay, like, there's going to be things that happen. How do I continue to build? And it was tough. He's in the lineup, out the lineup. So for him, you know, I think this was more of a summer where it's like, okay, I'm starting to figure these things out and just be who you are. Just be confident. You've been preaching that to him. You know, since I got here, and that's who he is. That's who he was when he was drafted. You know, he was an all-star. He was just playing at this level. But the biggest thing for me is, like, he's playing. His defensive effort is the biggest thing. Like, 34 points, yeah. Like, he does that. I'm not really tripping on that. But, like, being able to slide your feet, get into the spots, be there. Like, those are the things that we all, like, feed off of. And he's been phenomenal. He's going to keep being that guy. But I definitely want to continue. And I know it's only 4 games into the season, but he's going to keep playing like this. And I would like everybody who said he couldn't to stay over there. And I know who a lot of y'all are and who wasn't on that side, you know, keep over here, you know what I mean?
So I'm gonna have to ask you to declare what side you were on in summer so we can keep this going, because I was on Team Darius.
Do Cavs fans want to dislike Darius? That's kind of what that made it sound like to me.
I think there were fans who absolutely turned on Darius.
For sure there were.
And I think there were more media members, but I think there was, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, last year was tough, and with good reason. We can't just wipe away last season because of one good game in Madison Square Garden.
Well, you also can't make last season who Darius is when the 5 previous seasons were that like a different tier player.
I would agree with that, but I think it's really interesting. Hey, first off, I love Donovan sticking up for his guy there. Like, I love that. That is like, that is Band of Brothers stuff right there, Nick. I love that. I absolutely love that. Unlike what's going on right now with the cooking references, that is Band of Brothers stuff that I absolutely love.
In fairness, I'm cooking you, I think.
I think so. My goodness. No, but fans don't want to dislike Darius.
We want
the core four to work, don't we?
Yeah, but no.
I want the core four to work.
Nah, people turned on him. I just want to know if you were one of those people. I think everybody on this station, I'm calling on the morning boys.
Can I be honest with you? I don't remember if I did or didn't, but I remember I made a lot of jokes about him blending up some steaks and eating them through straws. I remember I made a lot of jokes about that stuff.
Doesn't sound like a guy that's on Darius' side here.
Well, I wasn't on his side when he's, you know, trying to get traded either. I don't remember being on his side there.
All right, you stay on that side. I'm going to stay on Darius' side.
You put the hard hat. Oh, this is great revisionist history here. You put the hard hat on and was like, Darius is it?
I believe I said you can't sell him low, and I think Darius is still a great player.
Nobody thought you could sell him low, though.
Well, no, but I still thought...
Giving away for a bag of basketballs makes no sense.
I still thought Darius was a great player, and I thought last year was the aberration. And there's tape. I don't know where it is, but there is tape.
We can't find it.
216-474-0092. Which side are you on? Last night was the aberration, Darius balling out, or last year was the aberration? I know what side I'm on. I think you better be truthful with yourself on what side you're on.
Classic Nick. The side that's right now, you're on. Okay, all right.
I believe I've been on the right side all along. I am him. Let me cook. Jonathan realized something about himself recently that I've known all along. It might cause another problem. 92.3 The Fan. Because I want to talk about something that you just discovered about yourself, but that I've known this whole time.
Yeah.
And I was a little... I think We got off on some rocky terrain earlier today because of that. Can we just bask in the glow of this? We talked about the World Series and what an absolute joy it's been to watch the Yankees mystique get just decimated by the fact they just can't buy championships anymore. You hate to see it. You hate to see it now that other teams can buy a championship. All of a sudden, the Yankees can't. A tough day. Tough day for those New Yorkers. Well, not as tough as I realized, because New York City is the first metro city to lose a game in the NBA, Major League Baseball, MLS, and NFL on the same day in the regular or postseason.
That's never happened before?
That has never happened before, and only in New York. And now I need to disappear for a good 10 minutes. Don't ask me where I'm going.
Because one of the games that the Yankees beat the Guardians, they won in, I think it was like 6 of the 7 pro sports that they have.
Yep, but not 7 out of 7, but now they've lost.
No, it wasn't a perfect sweep.
Now they've lost 4 of 4.
But they had like 3 different hockey teams included in there and everything. It was like the Islanders and all the other ones.
So this is the Yankees, Knicks, Giants, and whatever the stupid New York soccer team is. I don't even know.
Yeah, and they included that one in the mix, too.
Is it Dynamo? Is that a thing? Did I pull Dynamo?
I thought it was the Red Bulls for some reason.
It's like the New York City Football Club or something.
Oh, way off.
Wow, what a name.
Way off.
They really went out there for that one. Like, they really were like, well, okay, they play in New York City, and they play football in their club.
That's what soccer teams do, though. They put the city, and they just call themselves a club.
Guys, let's not copy the English.
Or it's United.
Okay. 200 and some years ago, guys, we fought to get away from them so we didn't have to do stuff like, I don't know, call it the football club. And when you do that...
Is that what the Boston Tea Party was about?
You're basically like rooting for English Putin. I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
Like, but that's basically what this is.
I don't know about that one.
Did I go too far? Bridge too far?
I don't know about that one.
All right, well, heat check that one. That was a heat check. All right, that was a Dion Waiters. Right the three, there, it's a 20...
With you up until Putin, man. Right there with you.
I always lose them at Putin. I'll get better. I'll make you buy in. So what was when, how, where, okay. Why did you discover this about yourself?
Yeah, that's going to be a great way to introduce this. let me tell you the time I was watching my own videos on Twitter.
Late night, was it?
It was rather late at night. I was talking to Elise, and then it was, I don't know, it was like 10 o'clock at night, and we're on the couch. And I wanted to play back one of the clips because I just wanted to, and I wanted to show her how, you know, we have all these cool clips that are now on Twitter, and anytime Keith puts them out there, like, I just think it's really nice. Oh, you know what started it? We were training the kid yesterday named Anthony from Syracuse, not Anthony Lima. He's not getting trained how to do updates. But basically, it's Anthony.
Or trained in the other sense.
It's basically Lima 20 years prior, okay? That's all it is. And I was saying how the kid was, he walked up top and he said, "Hey, Jonathan, how's it going?" And I said, that never would have happened a year ago. And I was crediting the videos. I'm like, Anthony clearly went online.
He listens
to the station. He went online. And then he saw the videos that's posted out there. And so he knows what I look like. And I'm like, that's a great thing. Because I've talked about it for years, how like no one knows what I look like in this city. Because I'm nowhere. We don't have video anywhere. And it bothers me. Mm-hmm. And so it's great that we get those video clips out there. I love that.
There's a lot in there, by the way. Of everything you just dispensed, there's a lot in there. But keep going.
I'll keep going. Let's keep cooking, okay? So anyway, so I'm telling this to Elise, and I'm like, I'm getting ready to play the video, and I'm playing the video, and I notice I look incredibly like, I just look like I'm having the worst time ever. Yeah. And then when I start talking, then things get better. And I'm like, well, it's got to be a one-off. And so I go to the other video, the other clip, and I have the same blank, dead expression on my face. And I've just come to realize, and I had no idea, I got what the kids call RBF.
You do. And here's the thing.
I had no idea. It's bothersome to me in a big way.
How do you not know?
How would I know? I'm never on video anywhere. I don't even take selfies of myself to figure these things out. I never look at myself basically ever.
I feel like I invented RBF because I just assumed that I had it. And then one day somebody confirmed it for me.
No one's ever told me I have it. Well, unless somebody told me?
But why? You're not like a smiley guy. It's like you. You and I are kindred spirits in the way that we kind of.
I smile.
But like when there's a reason to smile, you don't like.
Yeah, it's not. There's no courtesy laughs
like
going on
Katie
here.
Katie literally walks around with a smile preset on her face. That's Katie.
Yeah.
You and I are not Katie.
No.
Like, we are the opposite end of the spectrum from where Katie is. We're in the, you might think I'm a Russian loan shark.
This look was like, do I always seem like I'm having the worst time ever? I promise I'm not.
Yes. Yeah, there's a perceptional issue with you.
Kayla, stop shaking your head so much.
I need backup on this.
I'm shocked you've never caught like a glimpse of your reflection in anything for this long, 30-something years. You've never looked in a window when you were just sitting there.
This brings a good point. Like, what do you think you looked like?
I just thought it was normal. It's
like
not
the guy
normal.
From
it's
the
RBF.
Extends commercial like 30 years ago with just a smile.
Well, no, that would be weird. That would be weird if I was just constantly like I'm the Joker or something like that, and I got like a prefixed smile on my face constantly. Yeah. No, I didn't realize it was that bad. Now, when I talk, I think it's fine. I got to be talking though. Oh, don't give me that. I got to be talking though, and then I think it comes out. It's fun. But I was telling my wife, I'm like, this is just who this is. It's a 5-hour radio show. I have no idea what clips they're going to pull. I'm just going to have to live with this.
This is my waking nightmare.
I'm not going to smile as I do a 5-hour show with you.
I can't
for all 5 hours.
I can't watch clips because all I see is how ADHD is infected every portion of what I do. And most of it is, I'm so excited. There's a clip of me talking to Brad Doherty last week. And in my head, I'm like, it's a Cavs legend. This is like one of my my first favorite players in the NBA.
It's fun.
Like, he was my gateway to loving Shaq, like my all-time favorite basketball player.
Gateway player, I don't know. This is
my guy. And if you look at it, it looked like I was being given a colonoscopy while doing my taxes.
I know.
That's what it looks like.
I know.
I just can't believe it took this long to get you there, because I
had no idea.
Like, I felt like you walked around like I walk around, which is like, oh my god, the cameras are on. I know it's good for business, it's the right thing for the show. Oh god, but god, I just look ugly and angry.
I mean, I'm having a good time in my head. I just had no idea how it was coming across to everybody else.
Katie, what you got on this?
Sorry guys, I had to run in and jump in on this. So Jonathan, this is a great story. When I started working here about a year ago, and you would come in to prep your show, and I'd be, you know, working on updates.
Yeah.
And you sit down at your desk, and you do your job, and I'm like, dude, that guy does not smile. And
I had no idea.
I thought that's what we bonded over like a decade ago when you got here.
I genuinely had no idea.
I'm so sorry. I've never told him this before, but I would go home, and I would say to my husband, Andy, I'm like, Jonathan Peterson's a really nice. I'm gonna crack him. I'm gonna get him to smile. And you
here,
you,
I am thinking I'm smiling all the time. I'm like, am I smiling?
You're smiling
too much
now, and I think you're because the camera's there.
I think you smile way more now. I cracked the code, and you smile.
Look at that.
Yep.
Yeah. See, again, that's perceptional. I don't think that's reality. I think you just smile like once, and I was like, look at Smiley
over
here.
I'm open to the idea. I just didn't like Katie very much in the beginning. I'm open to that. I'm just messing.
You're doing the reach too. I was totally a good joke. Is this a good joke?
On that note, I'm leaving.
216-474-0092. Do you know if you have RBF? If you don't know, do you think you have it? Or are you walking around in what I would say is blissful ignorance, like JP was until about last night, about 10 o'clock?
That was rough, man. That was rough. I like how you call it like it's a disease, too. I do have RBF.
It is. My face is a disease. Should the Browns continue to try and win? 92.3 The Fan.